And all God's people said.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Thank you for your heart for God. Thank you for sharing your heart for God with this church family. And we are just so grateful that the Lord has led you to this place. I still remember back on a June 12, I think that's Loving Day. And Loving Day when you and Glenn married one another and invited me to help tie that knot. And I just think of the ways in which you've been part of this church family, the blessing you brought. And last night, to be able to out there at Rolling Hills Church, to be able to see you graduate from Multnomah University with a master's master's in arts of ministry or Christian leadership. So I missed it there, but I know I did. Yes, please, thank you. And last Sunday morning at our sunrise service, when you proclaimed Christ resurrected and the victory of Christ over darkness, over sin, death, and the devil, thank you. And today to be a day of being baptized, and it's a joy to be able to be part of the family of God together, amen? And just to see God at work in people's lives. So we rejoice this day and give Him thanks. And on this day, we do rejoice as we look back. I don't know, it's been a joy. I've had the privilege of driving 172nd. I don't always say it that way, but I drove 172nd a number of times this week. And it was so nice to drive by this little church with a steeple that has a cross with a white cloth on it, speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a church sign that says, Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. To be able to know this church all week long was giving that testimony to everybody who passed by here, and to center us in the reality that changes everything. Are you with me there? The fact that tomb was empty, and that Christ was seen, and his disciples said, we saw him, we ate with him, we walked with him, we talked with him. John even says, we touched him. All of that changes everything. Amen. And it means that we look at life from a completely different way of understanding it. And the smartest people on the planet, the wisest professors, the highest IQs, if you don't see this, you miss everything. This is what gives light and life and pours it into us, and it gives us that living hope in which we live. Let's pray together as we open God's word today. Lord, we thank you for this great privilege to be together in the name of Jesus in the house of God as the family of God. Lord, you've brought us through another week. For some of us, it's been a week of just seemed like from joy to joy. For others, it has been a week of hard news and challenges and God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that your promise is you'll never leave us or forsake us, and that your purpose for us will be fulfilled, and we can trust you with our lives, the lives of those we love. And so as we open the Word of God today, we pray that we will have ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts that will say yes to your call in our lives. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, there is a question that's on the heart, that's deep in the heart of every person you'll ever meet. There's a question that's deep in the heart of every person that you will ever meet. And that question is expressed in the words of a song sung by a man named Topol, who played the role of a man named Tevye, in a Broadway play called Fiddler on the Roof. Okay, did I get those all right? Okay, and anybody know the words of that song? While you're thinking about it, I'm just going to tell you that it's coming up on 50 years, coming really close to 50 years ago, that I turned down an invitation from a very dynamic old Jewish grandmother back in Silver Spring, Maryland, to actually go with her and a group of her friends who were taking a bus from Silver Spring, Maryland to New York City to watch Topol live on stage on Broadway. And I let my schooling get ahead of my education. It got in the way. I have never gotten over that when I realized what I said. No, this woman was an amazing woman. She shared with me as a little girl in Russia. A little girl, this would be now a young adolescent in Russia. And when the pogroms came and hiding underneath that cellar door that had been turned upside down and people were racing through and smashing everything and stealing in the house and killing. Her parents both died that night. She held her baby sister to her breast to keep it quiet, and that saved her life. But this woman invited me to go, and I thought I had a quiz. Who knows what it was? I didn't go. So I got to tell you this part of it. There was no way Leanne and I would miss. There was no way we would miss going downtown here to Portland 9 years ago, 2009, when Topol did his farewell tour through America. And I even got a chance to go outside and meet him at the end as he was leaving. So anybody remember the name of that song? Okay, I think I just heard it. Let's make sure I can pull this thing up. And here it is. And we're going to go through, I just want to share with you the words of that song, this heart that burns, this question that burns in the heart of every one of us, and that is this. He's talking to his wife, Goldie. This is Tevye, and he goes, Tevye, remember, if I were a rich man, see? Pastor Greg heard that he would invite him to Financial Peace University, okay, if he'd heard it, but here we go. But he goes, Goldie, do you love me? So they go back and forth. Do you love me? Do I what? Do you love me? Do I love you? With our daughters getting married, there's trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out, go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion. Goldie, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me? You're a fool. I know, but do you love me? Do I love you? Get ready, here it is. For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now? Goldie, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. Think about that one, boys and girls. The first time I met you was on my wedding day. I was scared. I was shy. I was nervous, so was I. But my father and my mother, they said we'd learn to love each other, and now I'm asking Goldie, do you love me? I'm your wife. I know, but do you love me? Do I love him? Well, do you? For 25 years, I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. For 25 years, my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Then you love me. I suppose I do. And I suppose I love you too. And if you remember, they sing together the last two lines. It doesn't change a thing, but even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know. Huh. Do you love me? There's the question. It's the question that burns in each one of our hearts. It burns in our hearts because we all know that love matters. We all know that love changes everything. And that love matters, and it matters not just to us. This love thing matters to him. John 21, you'll remember the story. John 21, starting in verse 1, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples. Remember, he had been twice in the upper room. He now does it the third time, and he's at the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee, two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. This is Pastor Greg, one of his favorite verses in the Bible. So, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, hey, we'll go with you. And they went out and got in the boat, spent the night on the boat, and caught nothing. And you remember what happened. Just as day was breaking, the sun's just coming up, and they see someone on the shore. And there's someone that they don't know who it is. It's Jesus. And he actually is cooking breakfast for them. And he says, "Do you have any fish?" he calls out. And they go, "No, no fish." He says, "Well, throw it over on the right side. Throw your net in." They throw it in. The net is so full. It is just so many fish. And at that point, what does it say in verse 7? That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So he says, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had stripped down, for he was down to his skivvies working out there that night. And he puts on his outer garment, and I love this next phrase. He threw himself into the sea. Don't you love that? This man just, he threw himself into the sea, and he came splashing into shore. And the other disciples are in the boat. They're dragging this net full of fish. They're about 100 yards from land, trying to get this fish in there. And they get to land, verse 9, and when they get there, they see there's a charcoal fire already burning, and there are fish already laid on it with some bread, and Jesus says to Peter, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." I love this. This actually, when you read this, you get the eyewitness feel, because what's it say? It says, Peter went aboard, he hauled the net full of large fish, 153 of them. Isn't that amazing? 153 large fish, what? You talk about God providing. They couldn't eat all those 153. They had to go sell those in the market. You talk about the Lord taking care of them. You know what I mean? And there were so many, the net wasn't torn. And Jesus says, I love these words of Jesus, "Hey, come have breakfast. Let's have breakfast together." And none of the disciples dare ask, "Who was it? Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Whew, here they are. Here is this moment, and they have this wonderful breakfast together on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as they finish breakfast, in front of the other disciples, they finish breakfast, and in verse 15, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the rest of these guys do? Do you love me more than them?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs." He says to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three times. Three times in front of his brothers, he asked them the question, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter says, "You know I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you." And he's grieved in his heart. And we go, three. Why three? Denied him three times. And before he denied him three times, he fell asleep how many times? Three times asked to pray that night. Three times denies him. And here's Peter, who now in front of his brothers is being asked the question, "Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter's going, "Yes, you know I love you. You know it." As Jesus is asking this question, this is not just Jesus kind of pulling petals off a daisy. Did anybody ever do that when you were kids? Do kids still do that? I'm not sure they do. Do kids still pick petals? So for us, you know, when we were in grade school and we're running around, and it was always the girls who kind of knew this stuff, and they'd tell the boys, "Oh, if you take a pet, you could pick the daisy, and if you go, 'He loves me, he loves me not, loves me, loves me not,' and you get all the way to the end, and you would decide whether they loved you or loved." That was the last one, right? "He loves me. Oh, loves me not." One of the things I discovered with that was that I felt that I could pick multiple daisies and keep doing this till I got the answer I wanted. Okay, you know, you can work this thing. You can work this system. Love me, love me not. Love me, love. You know, Jesus is not just playing a game here. He is coming to restore this man Peter. He is coming to bring him back. He's coming to help heal the depth of the woundedness, the self-inflicted wounds that Peter brought upon himself, the woundedness of knowing how deeply he had wounded his Lord and his Master, this friend that he has in Jesus. Knowing all of these pieces, he's coming to bring about a healing within Peter's life, his inner psychic life, and also a healing between Peter and his brothers, and a restoration that would allow him to indeed be a leader again among his brothers and among the followers of Jesus. That's what Jesus, it's a very significant moment that he would come and go through these three times. This is so much deeper than, it's so interesting to me that when Jesus comes there, he doesn't say in front of everybody, "Peter, you know that little thing that happened out there, you know, back there 40-some days ago, Remember that when you stood by the fire and I've been waiting for the words of apology. He hasn't asked for apology. It's so interesting to me. This is so much. I mean, how many times I've watched it now with our kids. I watch it now with our kids, with our grandkids. You know, go tell your sister you're sorry. I'm sorry. You know, you watch this whole thing. You go, wow, that was heartfelt. You know, there it was. That one really. Go tell the nice man you didn't mean it. Okay, right. Okay, so Jesus goes to the heart of this thing. The heart of the thing is, it's all about love. And the question is, do you love me? See, here's what Jesus knows. And what you and I know, if we ever get still enough to let the Lord show us. But the reality is, when I'm in love, it's not hard. When I'm in love, this is not difficult. You see, if you love me, what did he say? He said in Psalm 32:9, when he says, don't be like a horse or a mule that has to be curbed with a bit or a bridle. And what are the next, do you remember the next verses? Next words? Yeah, it must be curbed with bit or bridle, or it will not stay close to you. Those are love words. It's only when I'm not in love that I have to be curbed with bit and bridle. Because when I'm in love, it's easy to stay close. You see, so what Jesus is doing here is he's walking Peter through. He's doing all these things at all these levels and all these levels of healing that are taking place. But he's bringing Peter to this place where Peter is going to express the very words that will bring him into the, how did Pastor Jonathan call it? He called it into not the more, but into the most. And what's the most? A loving, intimate relationship with the Father. The call is into this loving, intimate relationship, and the words that the Apostle Paul uses, having heard, who told Apostle Paul the words that Jesus spoke in the garden on his knees? Who would have told him? Peter. Remember last week we were in Mark? Remember Jesus? Did he kneel? No, not on his knees, on his face. He fell. And his words were, Abba, Father. It's that relationship that you and I are, of love that you and I are being called into. A relationship of Abba, Father relationship. Peter, do you love me? Because when you love me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you love me, you get to soar. Amen. You see, you get to fly like the eagle when you love me. When you don't, I love you enough to curb you with bit and bridle. Ouch. I love you so much, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to do everything I can to keep you near me, draw you to me. Here's an interesting thing. I kind of went and made sure I remembered this. I went and checked it out yesterday in the Greek. Sure enough. When Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? He asks him, Peter, do you agape me? Agape, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Guess what Peter answers? Lord, you know I phileo you. Phileo? Philadelphia? Brotherly love? Do you agape me? Lord, you know I brotherly love you. Isn't that interesting? Second time, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And what does Peter say? You know I phileo you. Third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? And Peter says, you know I phileo you. Interesting. And I look at this, phileo is certainly God's gift. But phileo, along with eros, along with storge, three of the four words for love in the Greek language, they all seem to just kind of occur, quote unquote, naturally among us. But there's something really significant about agape. Romans 5:5. Look at Romans 5:5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's agape has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You and I do not naturally agape anybody. As Adam one people, born into this planet, born on this earth, as agape, or born into this earth, as Adam one people, we're talking Romans 5 here, as the first Adam people, we naturally care for my precious here. We love ourselves. And what's happening here is this invitation. And Jesus asking Peter, Peter, do you agape me? Is an invitation into this love that only the Holy Spirit can pour into our hearts. A love like God. In fact, what does 1 John 4:8 say? God is, which is, which Greek word? Yes, Kathy. God is agape. You and I were created in God's image. We were created as agape lovers. But we turned away from God. We the line that he drew and said, don't cross it. It's a line of death. Don't go there. Of course, we crossed it. And now, no, we're not agape lovers. We're taking care of self. We're taking care of our extensions of self, our family, our community, our race, you name it. All the extensions of self that kind of all about me. And yet we're being called to agape him and to agape others. Self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Jesus who said, you've heard it said, to love your neighbor. I tell you, love your enemies. What? You see, to love your enemy is not brotherly love. The mafia has brotherly love. You think brotherly love is really cool? The mafia is good at brotherly love. Unless, of course, you cross the Godfather, then things don't go well. But, they know brotherly love. Here we are called into this reality of this God who's saying, I want you to agape me. Now, look at this. This is not an insight that is like, that was like only just discovered. It is what God has revealed from the beginning, right at the beginning of the Torah. In fact, go to Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy and verse 6. What's it say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. So, by the way, is that law or gospel? Is that law or gospel? The answer is law. That's a command. It's command. So, we read it in the New Testament, that was a trick question. It's law. And it's command. You shall love the Lord your God. You do this. But there's this one little problem. Do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? No. Again, it's my precious. That's who I love. Look at 10:16. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16. Okay, here we go with the C word. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. What? Moses, what are you talking? Can you believe this? Moses, here's Moses taking and making this whole thing a spiritual meaning. Yes, Moses. That old legalist, no. Moses, who actually is going to open the door to the new covenant for us right here. But what's he saying? Stubborn? He goes, you have a rebellious heart. I asked you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But guess what? You got a heart that doesn't love me because you're a rebel. You have a rebellious heart. And there's going to have to be some cutting. There's going to have to be some heart surgery. What does he say later in Ezekiel? What does he say? I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh? He's telling us that we have hearts that do not naturally love him. Now, I love this. Look what happens in Deuteronomy 30. By the way, you have to be reading the ESV. So many translations get this thing wrong. Go to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. The Lord your God, this is God's work. For you and me to love, like he's calling us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, means it's going to be God's work through the Spirit in our lives. And what's he saying? The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children, so that. Those two little words are the words that are missing in most translations. The reality is the so that, I put them in parentheses in my Bible, so that God is going to have to do this so that I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, that I might live. God is going to do the work in your heart. This is not natural. This is supernatural. This is a supernatural event, and this is a supernatural that involves, get ready, the shedding of blood. You see, this new covenant peace that would be a new heart, that His law would be written on our mind, on our hearts, to give us this new heart, this is God's work within us through the Spirit. But through the Spirit brings into play the reality of what God does through His Son, Jesus. By the way, this whole circumcision thing, by the time you get to the New Testament, by the time you get to Jesus and then Pat, well, at this point, the whole circumcision thing has been now used to say one group of people only. It's become an exclusive thing, and it can no longer be a vehicle for the truth of what God is doing. Do you see what I'm saying here? When they went and said, no, this is the sign, and you must be, and only way is to be the child, is to be with us as a son of Abraham or a daughter of Abraham to come in. Okay, and it can no longer work. It now becomes a barrier. What is circumcision replaced with in the New Testament? Or is it? Or is it? Yeah. Baptism. What verse would you go to? And I studied it out, so I get to do that. Okay, so Colossians 2. Go to Colossians 2. That's where you were going to go. I knew that, Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Yes. So, it's on the tip of your tongue. Colossians 2, here it is. In Him, that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Okay, so we're not talking Jesus, little boy at 8 years of age, mom and dad take him to the temple. Joseph and Mother Mary go to the temple. No, not talking about that one. By putting off the body of the flesh, and when you read the word flesh now, your brain says what? Adam 1. Okay? By putting off the body of Adam 1 by the circumcision of Christ, not 8 years old, not 8 days old, little Jesus, but the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism. The transition, the handoff has been made. This circumcision piece that spoke of, boy, if you're going to have a heart for God, there's going to have to be heart surgery. There will need to be shedding of blood and a new heart. And that's what is happening through Christ as He comes and bears our flesh and takes it. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? Because He Himself bears the condemnation. All of the sin of the world upon Him. By the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were also raised with Him. Because baptism is not only death, is it? Thankfully, we don't stay there. We go under the water, we're buried, and we get raised up into new life in Christ Jesus. And as we're raised up through faith and the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead, this is, in the New Testament, the normal Christian life. This isn't super spiritual life. This is the normal Christian life. Died with Christ, raised with Christ, to live with Christ, empowered through the Spirit, that we would live out this life and we would love like Jesus, the Father who's madly in love with us, this reckless love that would come all the way, then we love like that as we love Him back and we love His children. Look what else it goes on. I love these next two verses. This, by the way, you need a translation that really is sound here. And you who were dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your Adam 1 nature, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. And all God's people said? Yeah. All God's people shouted? Yeah. You go, wow, yes. By nailing the law to the cross. Amen? You go to the NIV and you will read the words, by nailing the written code to the cross. Hello? No, 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 no. Having forgiven us our trespasses by canceling the record of debt, the record of debt. What got nailed to the cross? Our IOU. The bill that I owed. My IOU gets nailed to the cross. That stood against us with its legal demands that we had failed. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Amen. Wow. This is the life that you and I are being invited into. Now, this life that he's offered in Christ Jesus, this life that gives this forgiveness to us, that you and I get raised up into Adam 2 reality. Adam 2 reality now in Christ. This is why, and I've shared with you in the past, but I'll share it again. This is why I reconnect with my baptism every morning when I wake up. I was baptized when I was 9 years old. That's almost 60 years ago. I was baptized when I was 9 years old. Every single morning I wake up and I reconnect with my baptism. Unless I'm so spiritually dull, I forget. It happens once in a while. It's not a good thing when it happens. It's best when I wake up. I had C.S. Lewis say it. The first moments of consciousness are where the sail is set for the rest of the day. How did Sister White say it? When we wake, we slip to our knees, offer our lives to God. There it is. But that to reconnect, you know, Lord, right here at the beginning of the day, would you please unite me with Jesus, that I would be buried with him in his death, to be raised with him in his resurrection, that I might walk in newness of life through the power of your Spirit today. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you're just doing formula. Really? Those words are life. Those words are life. And that's the life that we live out in this reality. And to have that consciousness and that awareness, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Got to use these words that make us alive in Christ and set us free to live this life, to be able to soar for him. Now, I want to ask you the question. We're going to end here. But the question I'm going to ask is, here's Peter who goes, yes, Jesus, you know I phileo you. Yes, I phileo three times. I phileo you, I phileo you. I love it that Jesus goes, do you agape me? Do you agape me? And then he downshifts and goes, do you phileo me? Yeah, I phileo you. But my question is, does Peter ever grow in this place? I love the words of 1 Peter. Let's go there. 1 Peter, we're going to end here. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. He's writing a letter to people who are experiencing following Nero's fire in Rome. Chapter 1, look at what it says. Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's worshiping. You catch this? He's in worship. Blessed be him. According to his great mercy. What's mercy? God protecting me from what I do deserve. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I love those words. Born again to a living hope. How? Through what? Through the resurrection. Peter's a guy who ran to the tomb. John got there first. He stayed there. Peter went in first. From the dead to an inheritance. Get this, boys and girls. Sons and daughters. Here we are. He's calling us son and daughter. Sons and daughters of the living God. To the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and is kept in heaven for you. You and I, as daughters and sons of God, to live in that reality. I think I shared this with you, but this is so powerful to me, this prayer that I now pray when the enemy comes at me, and when I'm spiritually enough, alert enough to go, ah, I see what's happening. And I remember, and I just go, I hear the words of the Lord as he says, Son of the living God, Son of the living God, why would you turn back to that from which I have already set you free? Why would you turn back? Those are powerful words in that prayer when I allow the Spirit to bring it to me and give me victory in that moment. Wow. Next verse. Who by God's power, God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have this hope. He is coming again. But he is coming again, but you and I in Christ are already living the life. We're living the life, the Christ life already. He's coming, but we're already living the life in the power of the Spirit. Next verse. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved. What kind of trials? You go back and read this. Just type in Nero's fire. Go back and look at it and see what Nero was doing to the Christians. They were losing their lives in the Colosseum, being burned alive, being thrown to beasts. You're being tested, grieved. They're testing the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. Do you really believe your faith is more precious than gold? How much energy you're given to gold and how much energy you're given to faith in your life? That'll tell whether you really believe this. More precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, his second coming. Here it comes. Next verse. Though you have not seen him, you phileo him? Agape. Did Peter ever grow from a phileo, hey, brotherly love, to, he said, you agape him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, for you are obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. A million years from today, we're going to be rejoicing together in heaven. A million years from now, saying, oh, it was worth it all. Worth it all. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Yes, Lord. Do your Spirit make it true in my life is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we are amazed at your grace. You know everything about us. And you love us so much that you would give your very life for us, that we might have life in your name. We just thank you and we praise you. We're amazed at your grace. We are so thankful that you would pursue us with such a reckless love. And now you call us your kids. You call us your sons and daughters. You've chosen us. You're the God who's for us, not against us. You're the God who says, I love you. Do you love me? You want to say yes to this Jesus? Yes, I love you. Just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. Lord, thank you. Lord, make it real. Make it real. May we know the reality of Holy Spirit love, agape being poured into our hearts. We may be part of your light and your love in this world. Thank you. Praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.